Go ahead.
We got started.
Anthony.
So it was very disappointing. Last week, it was very disappointing that I wasn't here because perhaps the best episode of comic book television in its entirety of the year occurred on The Flash last week.
All right, we're going to talk about it, but Anthony has to bring us in. So let's bring us in here.
Let's get started. So, yeah. So welcome to CYKTV podcast. Where we're going to talk about all the geeky TV shows, because, yeah, it's been a good couple of 2 weeks, actually, on The Flash. But fuck all the other shows. Flash is kicking everybody in the balls at hyperspeed. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's out of control. Like, this week's was excellent, but last week's was just... It felt like a finale. Now, it felt like a season finale. It was so good.
Now, before we get into the episodes...
Sorry, I'm excited. Go ahead.
Do you guys got time for one bit of news? There's only one bit of news this week.
One bit of news. All right, let's jump into the news.
All right, so one bit of comic book TV news right now. We have, the comic book Lazarus is being turned into a TV series. You guys know what Lazarus is? It's an Image Comics sci-fi series.
Yeah. I got the first, I want to say 12 issues of that book.
Oh. Well, yes. I don't know how long it's been going on, but it seems, it's been going on for about 2 whole years, it seems. It's brand new.
Yeah, I only cut it from my list because I just couldn't afford another book, but it's a fantastic story. It's a crazy-ass dystopia, but it's a fantastic story. It would make for great TV.
Right, with a super heroine, it looks like, who plays bodyguard slash, you know, other things.
Yeah, so. the very simple premise is, let's say, take the 5 richest families on the planet. Mm-hmm. They all buy out the biggest corporations, and basically each family is a corporation. So instead of Walmart, like, they were actually, what was it, the Waltons or whatever. And if they were known by family name. So the main family in this book is called the Carlyles. Uh-huh. Each family, to not basically go to war all the time against each other and, you know, go batshit crazy with genetic testing or whatever, they all made it to where each family is allowed to have one basically perfectly genetically bred engineered super soldier that is each family's Lazarus. It's each family basically has an unstoppable killing machine that protects the actual members of the families. The main character is the family is named Forever Carlyle, who is the Lazarus of the Carlyle family. And she's just an ultra badass.
Yeah.
Because the Lazaruses are almost unkillable. They're genetically bred from birth to just be unstoppable killing machines to protect these uber rich families. And the world has become just this fucked up crazy part of itself where basically after the families bought out all the corporations bought out all the governments, and government doesn't really exist anymore. The corporations run the world, and the world is just, you know, fallen into disarray for, like, you know, there's actual, like, serf and peasant populations, and everybody comes to these giant gatherings to try to get jobs working for the families, and the families basically decide whether or not people even are, you know, worthy as people or if they're just cannon fodder. It's a crazy, crazy ass world.
Well, then I'm looking forward to it. I mean, there's no, it looks like there hasn't been a network that is picking it up quite yet, but it is in production. So we are getting yet another comic book television show to fill our eye holes and our ears, which is kind of nice. Yeah.
It feels Talon-esque.
Talon?
It feels Talon-esque as far as Batman, the Quarter Owls. They have these undead longtime warriors bred from childhood to be undefeatable warriors. And for
they're not undead. These ones are living humans. But it is something where they are bred from birth to be just ultimate badass.
That's a cool
and
idea.
The only real difference between the Talons, but there were so many of them. In the Lazarus world, each family is allowed to have one.
Oh, okay.
And so they're very select. I think there's six. Like, there's six families.
Is this like an agreement between the families? Do the families agree each family can only have one?
I believe that's what it was, yeah. There's so much backstory. Like, it's literally the book is amazing because the back, like, 4 or 5 pages of each issue, you have, like, conspiracy theory. You have... they put in news articles about advances in current genetics and genetic manipulation of food. And so you're seeing, like, all the technology stuff that, you know, like Monsanto and all these biochemical companies are getting into now. In the comic, they're showing you basically an extrapolation of what this could lead to 50, 60, 70 years in the future. And wow. So it's crazy because they're mixing in. It's like the show Almost Human, which I totally loved on Fox, so of course they killed it.
Of course.
Where their idea wasn't far-flung, you know, Star Trek technology. The idea was more of take the technology we have and try to look at what we could do with it, you know, 20 years in the future. Something right. that's just around the corner that's almost doable. And that's kind of what Lazarus does technology-wise in the comics, is take these scary fucking ideas and fall a little bit further. And, yeah, the story is just fantastic. I can't remember who the hell wrote it. It's a great book.
I have it right here. It is Greg Rucka and Michael Lark.
There you go. Yeah. Look, Lark's the character designs, the different, you know, tech and the suits, of the, you know, you got these military SWAT team dudes running around all the time. Yeah, just it's a top-notch book. The only reason I dropped it is because there was too many books on my damn pull list. That's the only reason. Otherwise, I'd still be reading it.
Well, talking about things that we should be reading, I think we should talk about the two shows that only one of us have seen. Like, Jay, you've only been watching The Walking Dead, and I've only been watching Powers. So do you want to go ahead and tell us what happened on The Walking Dead before we get into the TWD big
update?
Yeah, before the big discussions today. Yeah.
Well, things are getting tense in Alexandria. It's exactly that. Just like you were talking about before, it's like some wild dogs pent up in a cage, and people are starting to freak out. Sasha is going nutballs, and I think we talked about this earlier, Anthony, in another episode, but they are definitely – they're making it a little crazier, I think, but they've definitely used Sasha to fill that Andrea role from the comic. And she's kind of taking place in that whole scenario, but things are going to pop, man. I mean, the wolves are coming, whatever the wolves may be. And it's going to explode because right now it's very tense. There's a lot of characters and a lot of stuff going on.
Explain this, the wolves are coming thing. Like, are they seeing signs that say that, or are they hearing that, or what is that?
They're seeing that. There are walkers turning up with W's carved into their foreheads, and they're finding things like cars full of heads, zombie heads that all have W's marked on them.
Wait. Why are the walkers have W's on their heads?
It's a good question.
I think that's what you're saying is the wolves.
Yeah. What we've seen is some graffiti. There's been some graffiti in the background that has said things like "the wolves are coming" or mm-hmm. "beware the wolves."
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and
I wonder if that's going to be like the small attack that gets them to leave Alexandria that moves them along the way to the hilltop to where we'll finally meet Negan.
Pretty sure.
Or if it's going to be part of Negan's army is the wolves.
Well, I'm pretty sure there's another stop or two.
Groups.
In the comic, I think there's another stop or two before we get to Negan, no?
Well, yeah, depending on how much they follow.
Yeah, depending on how closely they go. But this is definitely what's coming up. And what's his name? Daryl and what's the guy's name? Aaron. They were out last episode doing their reconnaissance type stuff, and at night they saw someone around a fire. So there is someone close to the area in proximity to Alexandria, mm-hmm. and they're doing some messed up weird stuff. So I'm pretty sure you're right. That's what's going to happen. It's all going to come to a head. These wolves are going to be used kind of as a tool just to, you know, show everything kind of hit the fan, right?
Nice.
Does that mean Rick? Rick almost beat that one guy on this episode, the guy who was beating his wife. Rick and him got into it, and they have a giant, like, beat it out of each other thing. And then Rick actually pulls his gun out, and he's waving it all around at everybody in Alexandria, and he starts freaking out. And he's like, "You all still don't understand. You're all not prepared." And, like, everything that everybody's been thinking, Rick starts just letting pour out because he's all adrenaline and beating the shit out of this guy. And then right as he's got everybody, and you're totally like, "Yeah, you're right, Rick," Michonne knocks him out with the butt of her gun. And
nice.
Wow. Just to kind of quell the whole situation, right?
Leave it to Michonne to keep a calm head. Unless she's torturing the governor, she keeps a calm head.
It's not going to last long, you know? I mean, it's putting you in a position where you're not sure what the people of Alexandria... It's putting them in a position where they seem to have something going for them that you don't know about, but you know there's not. You know what I mean? They act the people of Alexandria, like Deanna, are still acting like they have some kind of control over the situation, and they are so clueless that they don't realize that they don't. Do you know what I mean? Like, they really don't get it yet. And Gabriel, the priest, he went to Deanna and ratted on them and told Deanna that they're horrible people and they're going to do bad things and they're going to ruin everything. And he totally, like, ratted them out like a little fucking scuzzball. And what's her name? Heard it. Mm-hmm. Maggie heard it. She was coming up the stairs, so she heard Gabriel do this. So she told Rick. So basically, it's not going to last much longer. I mean, what? I think next episode is the finale. Mm-hmm. And it's a special 90-minute. So it's pretty much going to be, I think the season will just end on the end of Alexandria, and we're on our way somewhere else again, you know? So
That's good, too, because usually about the time the season wraps up is when the previous season drops on Netflix.
Oh, there you go.
Well, it's going to need to get exciting again soon, right? I haven't
seen season 5 yet.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
I just want to make a quick apology to Mr. Roundtable Nerds, who was actually in our chat room for a second there.
Hey.
I did not even know. Wait, I forgot it was open. Well, if you click on the link, it'll open a separate client. So technically, you can open a client and have the chat room there. And I was in there. And he said something about having to read Lazarus, but I wasn't paying attention because the window was not open on my screen. So I want to apologize to him.
Damn it, Francis.
Forthright. And that he
what
will.
What are we doing?
Yeah. So sorry.
For those
that
don't know, Mr. at Roundtable Nerds would be Chris Farrell Farrell from All Things Good and Nerdy. Woo-woo. Over on the Gunna Geek Podcast Network.
Oh, yeah. So that was very nice of him to join us.
I've been tipping this over there, so. I figure a little cross promotion.
Oh, of course. You know, gotta show off your other show. Speaking of the other show, which is Powers, the only other show that I think one person is watching, which is me. And
if I had PlayStation Network, I'd be all over it. I just can't access it legally. And honestly, I don't have the time right now to access it illegally, so.
Right. Well, I don't blame you. I mean, it will be out there in a legal form at some point or another. But right now, yes, if you are one of the few people who own the PlayStation Network, and there are 20 million of you, according to sales. So if you're out there, go ahead and watch this show. It is on episode number 5. Last we saw our Powers cohorts, which is Christian Walker and the villainous wolf. They were in the shaft, which is like a prison for superpowered people, and Wolf is devouring everyone in his sight. Now this episode was what I liked about this episode in particular is that it's a lot of backstory on Christian Walker and his relationship with Wolf and kind of how they met and how he met Retro Girl. And the developing relationships, and as well as kind of getting a taste of what his powers used to be, because for a short amount of time, thanks to the Sway, which was the drug that they were using to power up powers, he was able to get his own abilities back for a short amount of time.
Nice. So Christian drops some Sway and gets a little bit of the old diamond back?
Yeah, he was flying, he had super strength. It was, look.
He took a pill and got hard.
Yes.
But, if only Sway was blue. That's so funny.
The little red pill in this case. But yeah, I mean, it was... He got his powers for a short time. It was fun to see Zora, who is like the youngest power to kind of introduce herself, who has the pixelated powers, got to show off.
She's awesome.
Yeah, she got to show off a little bit, kind of show that she actually is a force to be reckoned with. So that was a lot of fun to see.
I got to see this.
Yeah, look, the only thing is the effects are cheesy. I mean, if you want top grade special effects, you're not going to find it here.
The PlayStation Network's got to start somewhere, I suppose. Right?
Has anybody else seen the advertising that's putting out talking about how Powers is number one watch show on the PlayStation Network?
You mean the only show on the PlayStation Network?
Yeah. I keep seeing that thing popping up on advertising. I'm like, What other fucking show do you have?
Exactly.
You had that reality TV show of, like, wanting to be a Sony tester.
Oh, yeah.
The playtester one. Mm-hmm. There was their reality TV show. They did that for, like, 3 seasons. But, like, literally, have they had another TV show? And the tester one, I don't even think is even still going. I think Power's the only thing they're actually putting out right now, and they're advertising it's the number one show on the PlayStation Network.
Well,
no fucking shit. It's the only one show on the PlayStation Network. Good job, Sony.
It's a weird time for original programming, but, you know, people are trying it. Remember Blade? Remember Spike tried Blade?
There was a short run of
Blade. Yeah, we just shot the box set on Amazon, my last big order of old school classic comic book stuff. For $14.
Thank you, Anthony.
For $14, I got the House of C'thon, all of the Blade series, I got Stripperella, I got Birds of Prey, and The Cape. All four complete box sets for $14.
Wow.
It was a great day on Amazon.
I officially, because of that, no longer have any ill feelings or embarrassment about owning the entire series of Highlander on DVD.
Oh, hell no.
There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, I don't...
Yeah, dude, I own The Cape.
Yeah, The Cape is pretty... Yeah, well...
People that love Heroes made fun of The Cape, and I own The Cape, so... Yeah. Don't feel bad about nothing.
My point there was... I think Blade could have been a really good show had the budget. I think it was kind of the budget that killed that show because they had to go in a more conversational way, and there wasn't enough action on that show.
In all fairness,
it was a lot of
Sticky Fingers bringing in a rapper from Onyx. Like, he did a hell of a good impersonation of Wesley Snipes and Blade. Yeah,
sure.
Because it wasn't really like an original take, but yeah, it was a good acting job from a rapper turned actor.
It was a good start for considering Spike didn't have much to go with at the time, It was
it was early on in their trying to become one of the big boys.
So I guess...
it definitely wasn't a bad show. It wasn't great, but it wasn't bad. It's a fun watch.
So then I can forgive Powers for being low budget because they are. They have a very low.
Well, and look at it. If they keep pulling the numbers, Sony's got money.
Yeah.
That's why they're holding on to Spider-Man. They got money. If Powers pulls the numbers this year, there's no telling what they'll do with it a second season.
Right.
They could quadruple the budget on it and put it all into CGI. Because, they've already got great actors. We know they have a great storyline because it's Brian Michael Bendis. Great character designs by Michael Avon Oeming. Powers has everything they need. It just didn't have a proven track record. Given a proven track record, maybe Sony throws a little more money at it.
And that's the thing. The acting is great. I mean, there is a lot going on in this episode in which, again, it's just a lot of insight into the characters. As a matter of fact, it kind of feels like it could have ended with this episode if it wasn't for the fact that there's a little, a little teaser at the very end of the show where things are going to get batshit crazy or something's going to happen. But it actually had a lot of just character building, and I think that's what sets this one apart right now is that it's good character building using actors who are usually in movies doing television shows. It's kind of nice. So I know that's fun. Yeah, so I recommend it. I think it's definitely a way to go. Now,
who's in it again?
It's Charlton Copley. It is Eddie Izzard. It is a couple other people. I forget their names.
Right, Eddie Izzard. Yeah, that's crazy, man. That's cool stuff.
Amazing. I fucking love that guy. I've never seen a desert in something I didn't like.
What's Preacher going to be on? What network?
AMC.
Is that what they're talking to AMC now?
I believe so.
I'm so skeptical on that one because, oh my god, it should be so good. And, if they fuck it up, it's going to be so bad.
Oh, see where they fuck it up.
It's a show that's designed to kick the shit out of conservative America. Because the whole show is aimed at blaming God for the wrongs of the world and holding him accountable. If they actually stick with the script, that's a ballsy thing to put on American television.
Very true. Very true.
No matter how liberal the cops are, that middle section, it's still pretty goddamn conservative.
Yeah,
the things I've seen.
I doubt those conservatives are watching The Walking Dead much either, though, are they?
Who knows?
I don't know. they probably figure out the zombies are sinners, so it's all good.
That's how they got their fate.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of zombies, because Anthony, you're the only one to see iZombie, did you want to give us
a review? I'm caught up on iZombie.
Oh, you're caught up too? Okay, guys.
Oh, did you?
Talk about iZombie. I want to know what happened. They introduced
a new character. iZombie was fun. We got our second zombie in more than just a scene. Adam from Heroes, the unkillable Adam, is now the unkillable zombie number two on iZombie. I can't remember the character name, but yeah, he shows up, basically plays like the sweet, innocent guy, not realizing that she's also like him. They do a little back and forth at the morgue. The doctor checks him out some. Then, of course, you know, the big thing comes down to him asking her to basically share brains a little bit so that he's not out killing people. Because at this point, she had seen the flashback of him chasing down somebody and attacking them. And he tells her, you know, hey, I only did that because the guy tried to mug me. And so I figure he's a criminal. I kill him, eat him, it's all good. And she just figures, okay, that's fine. And then he's running around pulling scams, whatever, killing off drug dealers that are coming after him for money that he owes. And it goes around to the end where you find out that he took some chick home from a bar, cut or bit her. She's turning now. And what he's doing is taking the brains that she gave him at the coroner's office and selling them to the rich chick that he turned, and saying that basically he'll keep her in brains as long as she keeps paying him. So basically he's turning rich chicks and then like getting them hooked on a drug that only he can supply by supplying them with brains so that they can stay normal.
Yeah, it's
wow. So,
yeah, it's a hell of a twist of the show. And like I said, I didn't read the comic, but if that's something they did in the comic, I love this story idea. Because basically you have a good guy zombie and a bad guy zombie running around town fucking with people.
Yeah, it's kind of messed up. It's I'm not sure if he was a zombie that was made a zombie the same night she was, or if he was a zombie. I think he was a zombie before that night. But
yeah, it seems hard to tell from the flashbacks.
He seems freshly coming back. Like, he would have started taking over the crime family before now if he had been a zombie before now. You know? So I think he may have turned that night with her, but yeah, it is hard to tell. But he's obviously a sneaky guy, and he's got ulterior motives going on. So
he plays like the innocent card, because yeah, when she says you scratched me and did this to me, like he gets all shocked, like, oh my god, how do I even apologize for that? Like he dropped a great fucking line on her. The actor did some serious work in that episode, because yeah, he does that, and then the next thing you know, he's scamming somebody for 20 grand because he's going to give her brains and tell her she has to keep up on the toner and the hair dye, otherwise everybody's going to realize she's not fucking quite the hot chick she used to be. Was that what he said? Stack up on bronzer or something?
Yeah. That's awesome.
The dude's I like him in this role. I loved him on Heroes, and I think I'm going to like him on iZombie.
I don't remember him on Heroes, but I gave up on Heroes before the end because it got really bad.
He was the immortal. He was his healing power was so strong that not only did he not ever get hurt, he couldn't die. They met him in the future, and then when a hero teleported back to ancient Japan, he was the Gaijin samurai, the white dude living in Japan that hero runs into. And you realize that that's when Adam first realized that he was unkillable, is when he meets Hero back in like the 1400s.
Okay.
And Adam had a great send-off in Heroes. He was Hero put him in a casket underground, and he can never die, so he's just stuck 6 feet under, never able to leave his casket. I thought that was really cool. But
that's horrible.
Yeah, one of those super creepy. Yeah. You're not dead, but I'm just gonna put you in a place where you can't move or do anything forever, so you go insane.
So for the people,
it's so crazy how that girl, the main actress who plays Liv, is when she was human, I was kind of like, yeah, she's kind of cute, and then zombied up, she's hot as shit.
She's a hot fucking emo chick, right?
I don't know what it is, man. I must have a thing for pale ass chicks or something, because I don't know why.
Right. For the amount of sun you get up there, you know, no surprise. Yeah. But yeah, the name of the actual the name of the male zombie is Blaine De Beers. Blaine. So if you
Blaine, that's right.
Yeah. But
yeah, we got a quick call him. He's not Adam.
Yeah. I want to make a point on mentioning the soundtrack.
Oh, the soundtrack.
Because I don't know if you really noticed, but it's super cool. It's got a creepy kind of almost 80s horror vibe to it. Mm-hmm.
There's some good music, like, and then this episode, while she's learning the art stuff from the artist dude, she was also listening to jazz.
Yeah, Chet Baker stuff. Cool. Yeah. It was really good. Yeah. I watched the two episodes today earlier, and I really, really enjoyed them. It was it's a lot more interesting than I even thought it was going to be, because I'd read an issue. I'd read the origin book, and
oh, nice.
It's a slightly different vibe, whereas I think she's meant to be much hotter in the book, I think. She's meant to be like more of a model-esque type mm-hmm. physicality to her. But generally, it's exactly – it lays out that feeling, though, of the book exactly. Like, you know, just having to deal with daily zombie life as if it's normal, you know. It's twisted, but it's cool. So, yeah, so the two episodes I enjoyed, I thought, I'm definitely going to watch and see where this goes.
I can't wait till they introduce...
Speaking of origin stories.
Oh, yes? What origin stories are
I had a transition and Francis stepped on it.
Because I was going to say...
What'd you say?
I was going to say, I hope they introduce vampires and werewolves in iZombie. So.
Oh, God, I hope not. I hope it's a straight zombie show. I hope they don't mix it in. No, I was going to say, speaking of origin stories, after we read the origin book, they dropped an origin on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this week, which is fucking fantastic.
I hate that this is going to have to get spoiled. I need to catch up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
It's not, like, the origin story isn't anything, like, spoilerific, but it was awesome when it happened. It's the origin of Lola.
Oh, the car!
Oh! Awesome!
Coulson drops the origin story of Lola in this episode.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's so cool.
Okay, who is this other S.H.I.E.L.D. that's showing up?
That was the fantastic shit. Edward James almost showed up this week. We got the breakdown of why Bobby and Tank, Dozer, whoever...
Mac.
Oh, fucking getting people's, you know, actors' names stuck with that one character you associated with. Man,
I'm sorry. I know. All I could think about was Tank and Dozer for the longest time. Sorry.
Yeah. So you get Mac and Bobby. They kidnap Hunter, take him to the real S.H.I.E.L.D., and basically sit him down in a room with a couple of assholes and Edward James Olmos, and they try to explain to him what's going on and why they exist. And The basis of it comes down to is a group of people that was either I'm still trying to understand if they were basically other S.H.I.E.L.D. members that didn't turn Hydra.
No, and they're anti Nick Fury. They were just
He was talking about the one chick saved him.
Whoa. You're both cutting out and talking over. I can't see what's going on here.
Now you know what it's like to listen to the two of you. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
No.
Go ahead, Francis. What were we saying?
Edward James Olmos has this other group of S.H.I.E.L.D. members. Now, what I don't get is how they existed without all this crap that went on in the Winter Soldier and Nick Fury knowing he was the ultimate director and handed it over to Coulson. Did Nick Fury know about this other splinter group?
That's the thing. They weren't a splinter group. They were part of S.H.I.E.L.D. They considered themselves the real S.H.I.E.L.D., and they were anti-Nick Fury. They thought everything he did was obsessive and weird and wrong. So they developed their own... You know, once the Hydra threat happened, they split ways and built a base on an aircraft carrier, and they are now their own faction, their own S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I think they were members of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
And when the turn happened and Hydra turned on everybody, you had Coulson's group went over here to try to save their friends and do what they could, and this group went over here in this direction and disappeared and took gear they had and hid away from Hydra. And I think at the time, basically with Nick Fury having to kill himself and then putting Coulson in charge of the group that he had, while Nick Fury was dealing with that, he didn't realize or know about this other agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. or this other S.H.I.E.L.D. group. And so I think basically they just took their toys and disappeared while Hydra was also grabbing shit. Because at that point, they didn't know who anybody could trust, and they just kind of, disappeared into the night.
Here's the part
nobody
I'm having trouble with. I mean, if they were members of S.H.I.E.L.D., and that means they all followed Nick Fury.
Right.
Yeah, but they, Fred said, they were anti-Nick Fury, and they believe Coulson has drank the Kool-Aid, and all the things that have gone wrong is because of Coulson and alien tech and keeping all of his secrets. And they believe that leadership should be purely transparent, and that in an organization like theirs, their version of S.H.I.E.L.D., Everybody's held accountable for all their actions. There is no gray area. So it's like a much more, like, basically, like, kind of strict version of, you know, a protection agency, not so much, you know, like, spy shit.
Yeah,
really, right. I understand it. Mm-hmm. Though they turn around and send two agents undercover into Coulson Shield, lying about who they are, to gather intel to decide whether or not Coulson is a good guy who's hiding shit.
Right.
So, you fucking sent fucking agents in undercover. Like, you're lying.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah, while this is all happening, the side, the little side story is Agent 33 and Ward are now on their own little mission of redemption or something, where Agent 33 is trying to find herself. It's kind of weird, actually. I don't really get what's going on.
Who's Agent 33? Which one was Agent
33? The fake May face that got messed up, the face mask.
Right, right, the other May. So, right, right.
Yeah, with Whitehall dead, she basically has no purpose in life. So she saved Grant and nursed him back to life. And so, being like the lost puppy dog that he is, it gave him a project. And from what I'm understanding, basically now Grant Ward is kind of breaking her down and building her back up the way he was built back up as a Hydra agent. So he's giving her the tools he thinks she needs to basically, you know, be okay with who she is and kill anybody that's ever fucked with her. And so you're going to end up with this pair of well-trained psychopaths running around doing whatever the fuck they want, which is really awesome.
So he is still a bad, crazy guy then. He hasn't been all redeemed yet or anything, eh?
No, he's... We don't know what his purpose is. They really didn't say why he's doing what he's doing. Like, they captured that one Hydra guy. What's his name? The one British guy.
Yeah, Whitehall's underling.
Bakshi, yeah.
Bakshi, yeah, Bakshi.
And now they actually...
They captured him and fake naked torture him.
Yes, yeah, at the end of the episode, torturing him and hypnotizing him the way that Agent 33 was hypnotized.
Right.
So we don't know what's going to go on with that. But the other kind of big thing that happened was Skye ended up getting her gauntlets, which is apparently something that is very much about her power. So now she has something that helps her control.
Something from the comic, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, remember correctly, yeah, Daisy had actual power gloves that she wore that helped her focus and control her blast. So basically just think like Shocker in Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Like once she's got those on, like she can basically point the vibration waves and do stuff. So yeah, so Coulson sticks her in a cabin out in the woods that's supposedly the safest place on Earth and surrounded by laser fences. So don't wander too far is what he tells her. And then he drops a little line that at one point when Steve was trying to come back to the world, he spent some time up there. And so, you know, of course, in Coulson's world, if it's good enough for Rogers, it's good enough for anybody.
Which is kind of funny because you're getting a lot more Avengers talk in these last couple episodes. They're really ramping it up for May 1st.
It makes sense, yeah. They're getting ready for, it's mad Avengers talk. And yeah, I mean, it's just, they're just going to keep dropping Avengers names and the word Inhumans over and over over to prepare us for Avengers Age of Ultron and the fact that Magneto's kids aren't going to be mutants, they're going to be Inhumans. I'm fucking telling you.
Fuck. Jesus. Stupid. Shit.
Uh-oh.
Well, they exist in the Avengers Marvel Universe where mutants don't exist, so they can't be Magneto's kids.
God, I hate it.
The weird thing about the Avengers Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch is that they were husband and wife in the last movie they were in. And in the Ultimate Universe, Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch were brother and sister, and they were a couple.
Wait, hold on. What movie were they married in? What are you saying?
So,
Godzilla.
Yeah, and Godzilla, the guy who's
Aaron Johnson was the soldier.
Wife, you mean the actors? I thought you meant the characters.
the actors.
I was like, what are you talking about?
You know, it's a comic book.
It does cross over the comics. Is the actors were in a movie where they're husband and wife, and now they're playing brother and sister. In the Ultimate Universe, in the Avengers Ultimate version of Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, they were brother and sister, and they were also in a relationship.
Oh, that's gross.
Yeah, they were creepy. But like, it's like the real life version of that now.
Yeah. That's creepy. I read a crazy theory online that Ward is the Punisher.
What? I mean, sure, why not?
Well, they got Punisher back, I believe, don't they? Like, I think it's a Marvel property again.
Yeah, it was Marvel Knights. Lionsgate was the last film they did, but it was a Marvel film.
Yeah, and I heard that I don't know where this came from, but somebody online had a theory that, you know, it would obviously mean a different origin for the character.
Well,
that either Frank Castle or Ward could be aliases for whatever reason, and that it could turn into where, you know, he's got revenge on his mind for whatever reasons. Mm-hmm. But they even mentioned that there's like a couple scenes where they saw like there's skulls on him or something. And I seriously, seriously doubt that there's any validity to this, but it is something funny to mention that I read that Ward could be the Punisher. You know, they do crazy stuff now.
I also heard somewhere that in Age of Ultron, just to go into the movie real quick, that Miss Marvel will actually make a cameo in that movie.
Yeah.
So
why not? You know what a Miss Marvel cameo is? It's a blonde in a military outfit, and they refer to her as Lieutenant Danvers.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
I hate the fact that DC's getting a lot of flack right now. Like Warner Brothers is getting a lot of flack for, you know, having so many superheroes in this Man of Steel sequel, right? Mm-hmm. But I mean, if they don't stop adding heroes to Age of Ultron, at least all the ones that are apparently supposed to be in it. It's going to be far more superheroes in that movie than anything.
Yeah, but there's a difference, though. It's an Avengers film. There's like 400 Avengers. If you fight with the Hulk, you're an Avenger. The movie's called Batman versus Superman, and it's turned into Justice League.
Too easy to be an Avenger, man.
Well, yeah, you can show up in Manhattan and fight an alien invasion, you're an Avenger.
Well, hey, in the trailer, Hawkeye says it. If you walk out that door, you're an Avenger. So you just walk out that door.
Go find that door. Yeah, wherever that door is at. Anybody walks out of it, you're an Avenger. You all your sins are forgiven. You can go to heaven and you're an Avenger.
Okay, let's talk about Flash.
Stop that
law. All right. Okay,
So last week I'm not here, and it's the greatest comic book television episode of all time, mm-hmm. where the Flash just busts out crazy. That was like a season finale quality episode. Like that could have easily been a season finale, and we could easily waited 6 months to actually see what happened. You know what I mean?
I can watch last week's episode just for how much I gush about last week's episode of The Flash.
It was
unbelievably good, and I thought it was going to go somewhere, and then this week's episode, it did go somewhere, but then, of course, it got all wrapped up into a nice little ball at the end of this week's episode. It was well done, but I hoped this was the shit hitting the fan.
Isn't this considered retconning everything if they just like, moving on.
Well, no, I mean, it was, here's how this day went originally. Boom.
Yeah.
He goes back. Here's the second version of the day. Now he knows, well, X did happen. X didn't happen. So was this day good or better? And if he gets to the point where he can go back in time again, because we know it's going to happen at some point, mm-hmm. then at the second time he goes back, Barry will have to make the decision. Does he make the decisions that he made the first time? Or does he stick with the day the way he went through it the second time?
I think Wells is going to convince him not to go back. The way it ended, of course, you know, this episode.
Yeah, at least he's on to Wells, at least. Right. Yeah,
see, that's different. Yeah, you don't get, you know, if Cisco figures out Wells, Cisco dies. If Barry figures out Wells, Barry's still alive and Cisco's still alive. So, there's plus and minuses on each time stream. you got to weigh your options, Barry.
Well, the whole Iris thing, you know, blew up in his face, so that was nice.
But we also know he doesn't know that Cisco's dead in the world where Iris expresses her feelings.
Right.
So in that world, he gets the girl, but he doesn't know one of his buddies is murdered.
Mm-hmm. Nobody
and
does,
also,
but
his
well.
Identity hasn't well, been, and in that world, his identity hasn't been revealed to Captain Cold either. Because in this, the second part, day one, part B, Cold knows who he is now. And he's going to keep his tongue
it's
at the moment.
It's interesting, eh?
Yeah.
I like that little back and forth between Wentworth Miller and Gustin was fucking awesome.
Well, what they've had to set up, eh? You know the new team show that's coming that's going to have the Atom on it and everything?
Yeah.
The team up show? That's going to, Captain Cold is going to be one of them. Yeah. So he's going to have to be an anti-hero, like a Suicide Squad type guy, you know?
Yeah, and here's the thing, because they did bring up the full-blown issue of Wells tells him you can't go back in time because look at all the damage you've done with one day. Imagine if you went back decades. And Barry looks at him and says, well, I know I'm going to have the opportunity. At some point, I'm going to go back to the night my mom died. Mm-hmm. How do I not save her? And Will tells him, if you save your mom, how many other people die? Because mm-hmm. if Barry goes back and saves his mom, we get Flashpoint Paradox.
Yeah.
All those other heroes could most definitely be the show. It could be a Flashpoint Paradox TV show. So you have Black Canary's back. You have Captain Cold's a good guy. I don't remember if they showed the Atom in the Flashpoint Paradox movie.
And no, I think
then, so
it's going to be I think that'll be the Black Canary thing is going to be a Lazarus Pit thing, I think.
I think so too.
Now that they've introduced that the Lazarus Pit does exist and is usable, I think that's definitely, especially with Detective Lance hating Laurel right now. The only way they're going to fix that up is if maybe Sarah comes back or something, right?
He does have a severe mean on for his one daughter, man. The dude's kind of harsh.
They kind of fucked him pretty good there.
I'm keeping my fingers crossed. I love the idea of Barry goes back in time for like the season finale this year, breaks the timeline so bad, he wakes up and his mom's alive, and then we get a new TV show showing us what happens in that universe. And then because of that TV show, he goes back and stops himself from doing it. But then that other TV show keeps going because it's its own timeline.
Well, you know, we got the team thing coming, and we also have the Supergirl coming. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the universe is just getting bigger, so I don't know how much Supergirl is going to connect, but I don't see why it wouldn't.
Talking about the Zack Snyder, somebody tweeted an image from, I think it's next week's episode, or an upcoming episode that they're filming, where you see the Reverse Flash from behind, and you see Ollie, Barry, and Firestorm are all three standing there. And somebody tweeted out that picture, and they're like, fuck Zack Snyder. I got my Justice League right here on TV.
It would be pretty rad, but it's two different universes, which is I'm totally cool with. Speaking of,
I'm just saying, they're working on basically getting a Justice League going on TV.
Yeah. They're using all the B team, which is awesome. You know, which is totally cool. It's like the DC's Defenders.
People don't flip out so much when you change stuff about the B team.
Yeah, absolutely. I think right.
That's why the TV is smart.
And did you see Lex?
Oh, the new Jesse Eisenberg all bald.
I didn't think they were going to do it. I did not think they would bald him up. I really, really didn't think they would do it. And they did it. Bravo, Zack Snyder. Once again, bravo.
Yeah, he was bald months ago when he did all of his filming. Yeah.
Oh, well, I didn't.
Yeah, they showed when he showed up for, what was it? It was the first images from You Can't See Me, Part 2. His hair was only like this long.
Oh, really?
Because he just started growing it back.
They're making a part two to that?
I think. But I think, they filmed that after he did all of his Batman versus Superman stuff. So I think what we're seeing now is all promo images and photography shit that was done by Eisenberg like 6 months ago.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited. Early up.
He does look cool. He doesn't look scary, but I think back to the Social Network and that boardroom scene. And I know he can that character.
I think
you
this
have
is
the bare minimum of my attention.
This is
that's fucking Lex Luthor.
I believe that this is the next opportunity for the first comic book Oscar since Heath Ledger. I could see Eisenberg pulling off Lex Luthor to such an extent that at least the nomination for supporting, absolutely. That's the faith I have in Jesse Eisenberg pulling off this role. That kid is good. That kid is good, and he's played roles that...
Back Eisenberg.
Yes, man.
I'm going to say that it's going to be The Rock as Black Adam.
Look, this is a lot. You guys sound like Vin Diesel saying that Furious 7 is going to get Best Picture of the Oscars.
This is viable because Heath Ledger's already, Heath Ledger made it happen, and Lex Luthor is the kind of role that, Gene Hackman should have been up for that role for Best Supporting for the first Superman. Like, that's a juicy role to play with if you do it well, right?
Here's the thing.
And I love Kevin Spacey.
Yeah?
Here's the problem with this movie versus The Dark Knight. With The Dark Knight, you had, three main characters. You had Two-Face, Joker, Batman. In Batman vs. Superman, you have 90 characters you have to keep track of. He's not going to have enough airtime. He's not going to have enough time.
No, I don't think it's going to be like that, because we know that Aquaman is what that's going to be a very small part. Mm-hmm. That basically, from what I have heard in the rumor mill, is that Aquaman's only part in this movie is a cameo that helps set up Justice League.
So he's kind of like the stinger at the end, maybe.
Yeah. He's basically, whatever's going to happen is going to happen there. And that's that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But
it would be a hell of a stinger sequence if at the end credits, they just fucking, the camera just pans to the sun setting in the ocean, and all of a sudden just his head starts coming up out of the water. And he just comes walking out of the ocean.
Like a shampoo commercial.
That's all you have to do. He would just have to walk to camera, and it would just be badass.
I think it's I don't think it's going to be that far expanded. I think it's going to really deal mainly with Batman and Superman and everyone around it. I think Lois will obviously be a central figure in it. Mm-hmm. And I think Lex is going to be a much more central figure than we realize. I'm not saying he'll be all throughout the movie, but I think he'll be more of the core plot than say even Wonder Woman, who apparently has a pretty large, thing to do with the movie.
I see what you're saying, but
Dark Knight, look who you're up. You got Heath Ledger being nominated for an Oscar while acting next to Gary Oldman, Morgan Freeman, Michael Caine, right?
But again, those characters, they've been around. They weren't given a role that's as iconic as the Joker. These guys were there to be. They were purely support. You have the main villain. And that's why he got all of the, and of course the tragic, incident that happened before the movie came out.
Yeah, also helps if you die.
Yeah.
The Oscars love it if you die.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, I think that helped bump him up, because normally they don't pay attention to superhero movies. Superhero movies fly over the heads of any Oscar voter. So in this case, if Jesse Eisenberg is as good as you say he's going to be, I still think he's going to be overlooked. He'll probably make a Golden Globe. He'll probably make the smaller awards, but
It'll be talked about either way. I think it's going to be such a performance that it will be on the tips of everyone's tongue, because we all know DC has the superior rogues gallery. And
I'll make my realistic prediction then. You say Eisenberg possible Oscar. I guarantee you The Rock wins best performance the year he's Black Adam at the MTV Movie Awards.
Yeah.
I will guarantee best performance that year.
Yeah, well, sure.
I'm still dying to know what they're going to do about Captain Marvel himself.
Big
who
geez.
Is going to – who are you going to put up there?
Hopefully what they're doing is they're getting very tall actors that look innocent and putting them in a room with Dwayne Johnson and just having them look at each other, because that's what you have to be able to nail.
You think they'll go with no name against The Rock?
It's possible, because the character, the big character we're going to see in that movie is Black Adam. That movie is going to be called Captain Marvel, or it's going to be called Shazam, but we're all going to be going to see Black Adam, because he's a badass, he's a great villain, he's done so many cool things with him since the New 52, and it's The Rock.
I'll be going for
he's
Shazam.
He's going to be the
first.
Yeah, Dolph Lundgren as Shazam, yeah.
Not for me at all. Like, I think it's cool he's in it, and I think he's going to be awesome. Saying, he's not why I'm going.
They could have, it could be a huge actor, or it could be a no-name, but it has to be somebody that can stand in the room face-to-face with Dwayne Johnson, and still they have to physically be big enough to where you think that those two humans could fight.
You know who does that? Vin Diesel. He did
Vin
that.
Diesel cannot be the big cheese.
He did that, though. In the Furious movies. He did that.
Yeah,
so
no.
You
he,
gotta
he
find
did
somebody,
great at that.
You got to find somebody.
It's got to be somebody that, someone that's that imposing.
Exactly.
You know what it should be? Someone that you can believe could go into a fist fight with The Rock and not get destroyed.
Mm. What's Putty's name again?
Putty? You mean the Tick?
The Tick versus Black Adam.
No, what's
I think that might be the only thing that would.
Why am I blanking? Yes, Patrick Warburton. I always thought if jacked and younger would be the perfect Shazam because he's got kind of that. He can pull off that innocent thing. Do you know what I mean? Like a boy in a man's body.
He's a square jaw superhero, that's for sure.
I think he could pull off that. It might come off a little too funny, but he definitely pulls off the, the immature thing pretty well.
You know, after Arnold,
he could probably do it.
You don't.
My God! This isn't super comic book related, but did you see the trailer for Maggie?
Maggie? I have no idea what Maggie is.
It's Arnold Schwarzenegger saving his daughter who's turning into a zombie.
It looks rad. No, Francis, it doesn't. So much better sounding than it sounds. It looks really good.
Dude,
it looks.
There's a scene in the trailer where you see Arnold Schwarzenegger cry, and I'm just in the trailer, and you're not laughing about it. You're actually watching the trailer going, holy shit, this looks like a father.
My daughter's dying.
Smart move, man.
Yeah.
Smart.
My daughter's dying.
My daughter's dying. You must save her.
But yeah, no, the trailer looks fantastic. Right, it looks it might be his first really great movie since his comeback started.
And
which I really like Sabotage. I really like Sabotage. Everybody shit on it, but I thought he was really good in that. He was kind of creepy.
Right.
Yeah.
Sabotage. But yeah, it's a new take on zombies as well. It's apparently a world where, once you get bit, you have, months from the looks of it before you turn.
Yes, yeah. It's Abigail Breslin, too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and Abigail Breslin's the daughter. Hmm. So, I mean, it looks like this dude. You're talking about serious acting. Like, this might be Arnie fucking kicking it up a notch.
Is this his renaissance where he comes back as...
This is Renaissance Schwarzenegger.
Oh, man.
It makes sense, too. His character is, he looks more real than he ever has. Mm-hmm. Like, he looks in place. He doesn't look like some giant Austrian dude who happens to be, I don't know, a kindergarten teacher, whatever. You know what I mean?
I am still with King Conan. That's the movie I want to see.
Oh, he'll be.
And older he gets, the better it looks. I just want to see him with a big white beard and there's the crags in his face now because he's got that weathered look and just sitting on a fucking
throne. Well, he's smart to embrace it, right? He's really smart to embrace it. Because he didn't look good in Expendables. Expendables was okay. He's just there for there, but you look old, dude.
Look young.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, in The Last Stand, when he was the old sheriff and he had the scruff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, no, it's not a great movie. It's definitely not a great script, but it was a fun movie, and he looked like an old, small-town sheriff, some guy that was a bodybuilder and, got a little fame locally and won the sheriff's job off of it, and then kept that job for 30 years.
Sorry to take us off of comics.
No, it's all right, because you were talking about a father protecting his daughter, and in this week's Arrow, we had... We had Deadshot, who takes that you get that sympathetic look at Deadshot. So let's talk about this week's Arrow, shall we?
I almost even forgot. Yeah, because I watched Flash twice, because I watched it a second time today, and I watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to catch up on that. I forgot. Yeah, there was so much good shit with fucking Arrow this week. It's the Deadshot episode.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Arrow this week was Deadshot. What was it?
Okay.
Yeah.
So
it was Deadshot coming back from the war.
Yeah.
And meeting his, meeting his daughter for maybe not the first time, but the first time where she was old enough to actually recognize people.
Did you not see this
and
week's
dealing
Arrow?
Dealing with his wife. Did you not see it at all, Jay?
Is this the one
Suicide
where
Suicide Squad rides again?
Sort of.
It was
two
Deadshot.
Of the, two of the Suicide
Hold
Squad.
On. This week's episode was when Ra's al Ghul showed up at the end.
No, that was last week's episode.
Are you sure?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yesterday, there was a thing called Wednesday. Wednesday's Arrow.
Yeah. This week's episode. All right, look. This is what happened in this week's episode.
Damn.
Yeah, Diggle and his wife go out. We're supposed to go on their honeymoon. Instead, Waller calls him in for a job to rescue a senator in a fictional country of Kaznir or something.
Hey, I've seen that episode. That's a repeat.
No, that's brand new because Cupid is now a part of the Suicide Squad.
No, yeah. I think they've been to Kisnia before.
Oh, they've been to Kisnia before. Okay.
Yeah, I think they've used that country before.
Okay.
So that's the Suicide Squad part of the show. The second part is when the Atom discovers that the Arrow, the secret identity of the Arrow.
Oh, he does?
He does.
Oh.
Yeah. While Felicity
also he hasn't seen this episode. Yes.
And the fun part is it's Felicity Smoke going back and forth between her two billionaire boyfriends while they're fighting.
Oh yeah.
Which is just
she needs to make up her mind. But yeah, so
who cares? She's hot. She can do whatever she wants.
Well, so the Atom finds out that who the Arrow is, and he's now Iron Man is now out to get Hawkeye. Like it's odd.
Oh yeah, you can't call him Iron Man. We have to come up with a different name. Because he's definitely not the Atom.
Why is he out to get him? Like
because he believes that that he's out killing people.
What?
Because he believes the Arrow is out killing people, even though it's Ra's al Ghul who's.
This does the Ra's al Ghul thing. Okay,
it's working. The cops are against the Arrow,
and it's not just Ra's. Mm-hmm. He's got. There's other. At one point, what was it? There was four.
Well, the entire League of Assassins.
Arrow attacked him, and three more Green Arrows showed up. So there's apparently the whole League of Assassins is just running around Starling City, all wearing green hoods and all killing everybody that they fight instead of leaving them alive.
Right.
To make it look like the Arrow has gone back to being a murderer again because Ra's wants the city to turn on the Arrow.
So now Adam wants to stop him, and Felicity's like, trust me, it's not him. And he's like,
well, no.
Actually, really close to the script. Yeah.
Well, what ends up happening is Palmer finds out that Felicity was in on it the whole time. You knew this entire time. You never told me. I cannot trust you anymore. Blah, 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 blah. And so she runs off crying, gets to see Oliver, says, oh, my God, Palmer's after you. He is the Atom. Oliver says, oh, my God, I can't trust you. You can't tell me anything. Blah, 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 blah.
And he also says Palmer's going to go tell the cops.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, who's going to go tell? He's going to go tell the DA. So he's in a room writing out his statement about how Oliver Queen is the Arrow. He has the photographs from inside of his helmet because he basically x-rayed him through a building and then used facial recognition software.
He's Superman
so
all
it's
over
digital.
Again.
Yeah.
So he's super Iron Man. That's what he is. He's super Iron Man.
Does he rat him out?
He tried.
Well, he rats him out to fucking Black Canary because that's the DA.
Laurel, because Laurel is the one who's taking the statement, and Laurel's like,
that he's talking to.
No, you're not going to
win.
She's
like, these are digital, they're bullshit. It's awesome. He's like, what about my what about my statement? She's like, corroborated witness statement? Nah, toss it out, it's bullshit.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So just pretty much, just
she covers for him.
Oh,
yeah. That's good.
Yeah, flawlessly.
And he actually looks at me and goes, oh, so you're covering for him. So apparently I'm not going to get any justice within the law. I'll have to go outside the law. And that's when
people
realize that Super Iron Man is going to come and fight the Arrow.
Yes, which is why. Because he flies in, has like beam powers out of his hands. He has x-ray, he has Jarvis in his little eye thing. Well, not necessarily, but he can.
This is so obvious because he was never like this in the comic in any way.
No, he shrinks.
But I think.
Ray Palmer shrinks.
But I think this is the episode. I think after this, he's going to realize that he can't. Because after this in confrontation with Oliver, he's like, look, I'm not going to fight you. Felicity chose you. Just be a good guy, blah, blah. Don't be a hero. Which makes me think...
I was watching the episode with a friend, and I think I know how they're going to get to him shrinking. But he's, of course, fighting Arrow and Roy. He blasts the dog shit out of Roy, which at the end of the scene when Arrow just walks off
yes!
the zone, he totally forgets his fucking partner has been electrocuted and is laying in a burning heap next to a chain link fence. He doesn't even go and check on Roy.
No.
He just walks the fuck away into the sunset looking like a badass.
Sorry, Roy.
But they're going back and forth fighting. He flies by, hits him with the Superman punch once, and Ollie gets up and then tags him in the leg with the Arrow. And I was sitting there watching the show with someone was like, aha, your power supply was showing. Because then all of a sudden, Roy's fucking whole suit dies and he falls down and takes his helmet off.
Palmer.
He's like, oh, I suck.
Ray.
Ray.
And then, let's wrap it up on that. Don't ruin it too much further.
Right. Well, let's just say I'll just give my theory, and we won't give away the very end, because the very end kind of it's a cliffhanger, pretty good cliffhanger for the most part. But and what happens with the Suicide Squad mission is kind of a big deal too. You actually get to see the softer side of the villains, which is kind of nice. But what the
not the softer side.
Well,
he just takes care of business.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
He's never really been a bad guy. He just does his job.
And so you get to see a lot more backstory for Deadshot, which is kind of nice. But what the thing is, now that the big takeaway, I think, is at least with the Atom and why he'll start doing his shrinking thing, is because Felicity comes back to him. They all make up, but he's now going. I think he's now going to be like, I'm not going to be a vigilante. I'm going to be something different. And so instead of being a fighter, right, he'll be more of like infiltration. He'll just go in, listen, you know, be sneaky, be a spy, whatever, and then you know, live life and move on. I don't think
you know him and Arrow are going to make friends eventually too, right?
Oh well, yeah, they have. My idea is just that he's going to realize that the power supply cable was too big, and so he realized he has to shrink everything in the suit. And he starts thinking about shrinking stuff, and then realizes that he has a really good way to shrink everything.
Oh.
Yeah, or he, or maybe he's got to save someone by going inside their body to do some sort of surgical.
Yeah.
Felicity. Oh, they're going to get Felicity cancer.
And she has to,
yeah.
I must kill go in cancer.
Get Felicity an inoperable brain tumor, so that way she's not a computer genius anymore. So both Arrow and Palmer are like, fuck, without this chick, we both suck. We need to save her.
So at least we won't say what happens next week on Arrow, but next week for The Flash, we have the Trickster. So Mark Hamill will
next
week, which is fun.
You know what's great? They even use old
John Wesley Shipp, The Flash, is The Flash's dad. Freaking the doctor that always helped him was the other scientist in one of the other episodes of The Flash, but this is the first time an actual character from the first Flash TV show is showing up as the same character.
Kind of.
I am
kind.
Well, no, he does say he's the old Trickster.
So he is the old James Trickster, Jesse. But...
Yeah,
I mean,
he's James Jesse. I've seen a picture of the young Trickster, too. They're going to do it just like the comics, where the old Trickster turns over to the new Trickster.
Yes, but you know what I mean? Like... It's not the same universe, technically, right? It's a different Flash.
No, it doesn't matter. It's Mark Hamill as James Jesse.
Yeah.
Yes, but Mark Hamill's James Jesse didn't fight a Flash while he was young.
I guess.
Right?
Watch
it is
that
still fun.
They'll do something
you
about
use
that.
Footage, right? They use footage and stills from the old show, which is cool.
Yeah, because I think that's what makes fun of him for rocking the spandex.
Which,
yeah,
it'd be nice if they put in, like, oh, he went back in time and fought the original Trickster, and that's how he knows that a Flash exists or something like that. That would be kind of interesting.
That'd be cool, yeah.
Something, yeah. I want to see how they're going to handle it. But, yeah, I'm stoked. Yeah, like, this is the same thing I wanted Tom Hardy as a different version of Bane in the Suicide Squad movie.
Yeah.
Just put him in the Luchador mask. It would have been awesome. Yeah. Same actor, same character, just a different version.
Look, we're getting very close to the end of the season. It's kind of sad, really, because we're like a couple months away. Like,
no more Flash is going to make me sad. I'll just have to
watch
Daredevil over and over.
That's the most amazing thing about this entire thing is the fact that this is season one
of The Flash.
If this,
are you kidding?
I'll tell you now. I've loved some CW shows. I watched all 10 years of Smallville. Fuck everybody. I loved that show. It was a blast. Mm-hmm. It had its ups and downs, but it had some good shit. If we don't get 10 years of Grant Gustin as The Flash, I'm going to be angry. Well, I want a decade of that dude on this show because he is fucking spectacular.
If it doesn't go that long, it's just because I don't think TV shows in general can really make it that long anymore.
I don't know.
But it's not the show's fault, but it might.
I think it will. Now, I just want to mention one last thing, at least about The Flash, is I'm curious. It says All-Star Team-Up is the episode right after Trickster's, so I'm curious what that means.
That's where you're going to get Arrow, Flash, and Firestorm all taking on the Reverse Flash.
I'm
betting that's where that image is from.
Oh, wow. All right. Awesome.
That's your all-star team. This is the first time it'll be three heroes in one episode.
Yeah. All right. I'm down with
it. We haven't seen that yet on The Flash.
That sounds good. So we're getting close to the end. Gotham comes back in another, I think, 3 weeks. maybe another 2
something
weeks.
Something like that.
Yeah, really? Another 2 weeks? Man. Yeah. My alarm keeps going off my phone at 7 o'clock on Monday. It's like, Gotham. I'm like, bullshit. You're lying.
Yeah. Two more weeks, and then it's an episode. Then the week after that, it's the introduction of Lucius Fox. So we'll see.
Yeah! Yeah. Love that. I had to mention it.
Because, Jay, yes, you called the Lucius Fox.
Yeah, 2 weeks from now, I'm not going to be giving a damn about Gotham. I got to tell you that. Because roughly 2 weeks from now, I'm taking Friday, April 10th off. I already requested the day off from work. It got approved by my supervisor yesterday. I will be getting up at 6 a.m. and starting to watch Daredevil. And I will watch Daredevil, all of it, on that Friday. And I will probably watch it again that weekend.
My recommendation when we get – well, we'll talk about it when we get to it, because I don't think we should do all episodes all at once. So,
I'm going to have trouble, but, yeah, I'll have to, like, go back and rewatch an episode.
Yeah, which is why I like – I kind of like the way they're doing it with Powers. Like, they're doing an episode a week. You know, they did a couple right off the bat, and now they're just doing an episode a week, even though they could do the entire 10-episode season right up front.
They have the whole thing done, right? And they're actually releasing one at a time to kind of fight the whole binge-watching –
which I think is great. I actually like that because, you know, take your time. You don't have to just force feed us the entire season.
Fuck that. Off screen. Well, I think it also depends on the show. And I think it might be something to where, I mean, we're all anxious to see what the first Netflix Marvel show is going to look like.
I'm afraid of that noise.
It's one of those things where I think it's one of those things where they're so happy with what they did that Netflix is like, we're going to drop the whole fucking 15 episodes on it because it's amazing.
Sure.
I think that's why we're getting the first Netflix Marvel show that way is because they're just like, look, this fucking show is spectacular.
It doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference to Netflix how quick you watch it, right?
That's true. They make their
money either way, right?
Well, and it's definitely with House of Cards. The House of Cards show is fucking fantastic. Look at the nominations House of Cards got.
Three seasons.
As an original online, pilot or a scripted drama. Mm-hmm. And it was right up there with all the other fucking, NBC and ABC and AMC shows.
Same thing with
Orange and the New Black. Like, it jumped up into the fights.
Yeah, Orange and the New Black did the same thing. Like, these Netflix originals are just blowing up. I mean, everyone loves them. But yeah, so speaking of love, I think I love the fact that we're done.
it is late on a Thursday. Yeah, I think Jay's been asleep for 10 minutes.
Exactly.
I think
it's time we gotta go. It's Friday here already. I mean,
yeah.
Fuck.
So give out the deets.
All right, you can find all of my stuff. Wait, where is it? No, wrong hand. This hand. There we go. At Anthony Bachman at CMYKTV podcast on the Twitters, and go check out CMYKTV.com. Francis?
Yeah, at Sort of Geek over here. The CMYKTV, I want to just emphasize that, CMYKTV.com is going to be the place where we're going to try to get live chat. The live feed will be there from here on out. So you can check it out there. I highly recommend it. We try to stick to a we stick to the same, the right day, but the time differs. So we don't have an exact time when we're on, but between 8 and 9 Pacific, between 7 to 8 Pacific, we normally get on and record. So just be on the lookout for that.
The show roughly Thursday.
Whoa.
Roughly Thursday.
Because
the world goes by Pacific.
Well, okay. Sorry. All right. 10, 11 p.m. Eastern. There you go. The only time zone.
Make the T-Dot boy happy. All right.
10:30 in Newfoundland and Labrador, eh?
Oh, brother.
We're not doing half hours. No half.
Oh, God. No half hours. All right,
give him your deep shake.
My name's Jay. You can see my little thing right here.
Listeners for the podcast people.
Yeah, I do a whole bunch of podcasts on pointsofinterestpodcast.com. You can also find the show. It'll be going through there. And all the posts to all our shows get linked at pointsofinterestpodcast.com. You just see the thread of featured episodes from all our wonderful podcasts. Mm-hmm. And just a little personal note, if you happen to next weekend, April 3rd, be in the Philadelphia area. I will be attending the Great Philadelphia Comic Con as a panel host and media press coverage. So I'll be bringing you lots of fun stuff from there. Got some exciting chats coming up. Yeah, it's going to be a good time.
If you're going to say that, come find me next week at WonderCon then. Fine.
Yeah, hell yeah.
WonderCon
say that.
Over in fact, Anaheim. Come on.
Yeah. Check it. You know, and right now, the reason we're missing El Hawkes is that he is at Emerald City Con in Seattle.
Oh, the con season.
So lots
begun.
Of good con coverage coming up. It's
last
weekend, I was at Toronto Comic Con last weekend. Had a wonderful time. It's good shit.
24 hours a day, you're going to get con coverage.
Con. Be con everywhere.
Con!
Yeah, I think that'll do it for us this week.
I agree.
All right, folks. Have yourselves a colorful week.
Bye.
See y'all next time.